Right now, some baseball talk, though, as we welcome back to the show author of the Cooperstown Casebook, Jay Jaffe of Fangraphs. Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, good afternoon.
On your media tour today, I see, from social media.
Yeah, it seems like I'm in demand today here a little bit more than usual, which is always nice. Good to talk to some people that I don't get to talk to quite as often as my usual weekly spot.
Well, let's talk, first of all, about your piece earlier this week on World Series losers. The Dodgers are having an awful time of it this year, and at least statistically, that seems to be a bit of an aberration.
Yeah, what I found, which was interesting, was that the teams that lose the World Series tend to outperform the teams that win the World Series over the following season. This was based on something that my editor and I were wondering about last year when the Cubs started slowly. You know, if there was a World Series hangover effect for the winners and when that might have manifested itself, like early in the year or late in the year. What I ended up doing was looking at the first 20 and 40 game blocks of the season and the last 20 and 40 game blocks. It's just at the team level of wins or losses, not getting any more granular than that because I didn't have the data power at my disposal to do that easily. What I found was, and then I revisited, was that the World Series losers outperformed the winners over all of those increments and made the playoffs at a higher frequency than the winners did, which makes, I guess, the Dodgers' problems all the more unusual. Only two of the World Series losers have posted a worse record. This is going back to the 2001 season. Basically, it was the era in which we had no repeat World Series winner. The Dodgers had only been beaten out by two teams that did worse, and that's the 2001 Mets and, I'm blanking on the other one. Oh, the 2008 Rockies, both of whom went 15-25 over the first 40 games. The Dodgers went 16-40. The reason for that might be, just in general, teams that win the World Series tend to keep the band together a little bit more, maybe get a little bit more complacent in terms of personnel. That's based on something that my former colleague Ben Lindbergh did for Grantland a few years ago for a similar time frame.
Big baseball news this week, the 80-game suspension of Robinson Cano for using a diuretic, apparently to cover up his use of PEDs. You had written just recently about his candidacy for the Hall of Fame and seemed like a pretty sure thing. How big a blow is this?
It's a very big blow. I mean, you know, Cano appeared to be on track for 3,000 hits, and he still, I think, is on track for 3,000 hits, given, you know, that he's under contract for five more years after this year and is already 2,417 hits. Probably about 400 home runs as well, a combination that I think only 11 other players have already reached. That put him in very good shape as far as the Hall of Fame was concerned, but, you know, with the positive test, I think the battle becomes much harder. We have yet to see anybody with a positive test get anything close to the electoral consensus needed. Manny Ramirez in the low 20%. You know, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are trending towards election, but they never tested positive, you know, in the testing and penalty phase of Major League Baseball. And I think their transgressions belong to, you know, a different era and should be evaluated differently. I think, you know, with the testing and the suspension, this puts Cano in a much deeper hole than those guys.
On your chat earlier today on Fangraphs, speaking of 3,000 hits, you talked about Cano and Miguel Cabrera, who are within sight of that, but you said today it may be a while before we see somebody reach that milestone again.
Yeah, everybody else who's at like, say, 2,000 hits, of which there are only a few players, guys like Jose Reyes, who looks like he's on his last legs, and Victor Martinez, likewise, you know, aren't going to get to 3,000. Nick Markakis seems like a relative long shot given his fairly narrow base of skills. His guy who's not anything close to a star, but he does have the durability to sock away those hits. After that, I think you're looking to the next generation. I mean, you know, maybe down the road, guys like Jose Altuve and Mike Trout, but they're really just getting started on their journeys, and there's a lot more baseball to be played before they can be considered serious candidates.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe here on Downtown. Boy, this Ronald Acuna at Atlanta is an awfully fun player to watch. Did the Braves, especially if they end up maybe falling just short of the postseason, did they make a mistake keeping him down as long as they did?
You know, I think they might have, but who knows? It's tough to bang them too hard on this. I mean, you know, if he'd come up right at the beginning of the year and if he'd struggled, who's to say he would have bounced back? You know, as quickly. I don't know. I think it does show the danger of doing it, and I think that if they could turn back the clock, maybe getting him up a week earlier at the very least might have been in order. But you know, they were off to a good start, and you can't bang them too hard for that. I do think though that the Players Association really should try to introduce some safeguards regarding that when it comes to the next collective bargaining agreement, because we do see this kind of behavior from teams routinely.
We're certainly enjoying the way the baseball season's going up here. The Red Sox, some struggles lately, but a great start. It looks like it's going to be a back and forth all year with the Yankees. From your perspective, are the Yankees at this point a superior team?
Well, we're just talking about the order of the season here. Obviously, the Red Sox got off to a 17-2 start and then leveled off. The Yankees started a bit more slowly and then themselves had a 17-2 run. They might be in a little bit better shape right now, having added Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar to their roster, and they just seem to be brimming with talent. But they've got some pitching injuries and situations that I think are some concern. And I know the Red Sox do as well. I think this is going to be a back and forth. I don't know that I could label the Yankees clearly superior, you know, in terms of the overall outlook. But I think this is going to be a dogfight that goes all the way down to the final month.
Mike Trout is having another fantastic year, and I think it was last week on the Fangraphs chat, somebody asked you if he was Ruthian, and you made the point that, well, not until he turns in 1,200 quality innings as a pitcher. He's no Ruth, but he might be a Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we're seeing from Trout is just, you know, superiority on every level here. I mean, this is the best player in the game, and he seems to be getting better. It's a lot of fun to watch. In my JAWS metric, which uses wins above replacement to compare candidates to the players who were already in the Hall of Fame at his position, Trout is actually probably only about a week or so away from equaling the score, that is the career and peak value of the average Hall of Fame center fielder, which, considering that he's only in his eighth major league season, you know, and that two of those are incomplete seasons, his 2011 cup of coffee and this one, is just all the more remarkable.
Jay, I saw you were enjoying, I love myself a good coffee stout. Was it an Evil Twin that you had?
Yeah, that was, yeah, Evil Twin Irish-ish coffee stout. One that fellow baseball writer who was visiting New York from Athens, where he moved a couple years ago, brought me as a gift, and man, that was a great stuff. I've got to get more of that stuff. I was going to tell you about that today.
Now, I also saw in passing somewhere on social media, and I have to ask about this, and I have to ask myself why I didn't know this until now. You're telling me that ramen is a great hangover cure?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. I learned this in college, and you know, I try not to utilize it too often here, because I try to be much more responsible in my adult life than I was in my early 20s. But yeah, that combination of salt and MSG and liquid and carbohydrates is a magical cure. You know, best you can do for under a dollar.
One more failing from my college career that I never picked that up either. But that's why we call on the experts, Jay.
Well, I hope I'm not too much of an expert on it.
Well, looking back, you were doing research in college.
I was doing important field research.
We appreciate that, as always. Jay is the author of the Cooperstown Casebook. Read his terrific work on Fangraphs as well. Jay, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Rich. Good talking to you.
Jay Jaffe here on Downtown.